Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. We are smack dab right in the middle of a spiritual checkup here at Rocket Baptist. And what we've been asking ourselves really the last month is this question. Am I progressing as a follower of Christ? Am I growing in my relationship with Christ? Because the fact is, you're either growing or you're going backwards. No one stays the same. There's no middle ground. And to gauge things and really to answer this question, we've been studying the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5. So I hope you'll open up your Bibles to that great chapter of the Bible, because we're going to be reading parts of it again today. What we've discovered so far in this series is that spiritual fruit is not automatic. It's not automatic. No, what will happen is, as you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then you begin to yield yourself to Him, you allow Him to be the Lord of your life and not just the Savior of your life, and you give Him control, then what happens is the fruit of the Spirit will begin to be produced in our lives. The Holy Spirit will do that work. Verse 17 reminds us, we're going to look at it here in a second, that there is a battle raging on the inside. If you know Christ, yes, you're saved. Yes, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Yes, He wants to guide your life. That doesn't take away the fact, the reality really, that there's still a battle raging for control inside of us. It's that sin nature that wants to rear its head and wants to lead your life. But verse 16 says, we're to let the Holy Spirit guide our life. And what we know is that when we surrender to that sinful nature, when we ignore the Spirit of God in our lives, it grieves Him. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 tells us that. That we can grieve the Spirit of God within us. And that's not something that I want to be a part of. And I know that's how you feel as well today. So far we've looked at love, joy, and peace. And these great fruits of the Spirit. Today we're going to be looking at the next three. Here's something we also have discovered, is that these fruit of the Spirit, we cannot manufacture them on our own. We have to go to the source. We have to draw close to God. We have to abide in Christ. And as we do that, again, the Holy Spirit will produce these virtues in our life. Today, we're going to be looking at patience, kindness, and goodness. Now, love, joy, and peace, I told you this last week, but these three things, we look up to God for those things. Love, joy, and peace. And as we are filled with God's love and His joy and His peace, and as we continue to abide in Him and the Holy Spirit guide our lives, we produce these fruits of patience, kindness, and goodness. And these virtues, rather than looking up, these virtues cause us to look out to others that we're in relationship with. And that's where patience and kindness and goodness is really, really important in our daily relationships, our daily encounters with others. Now, let's go to our text. Galatians chapter 5. Follow along with me in verse 13. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces, and we can feel these forces alive and well and working in us. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. Has that ever been true of you? You have God, but you fail. You don't measure up. I know that happens to me quite frequently. We're told here in verse 18 that when we're directed by the Spirit, we're not under the obligation to the law of Moses. However, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Who would ever make a law that says you shouldn't love, be patient with each other? That'd be ridiculous. So there's no law against these things. Verse 24. This reminds us of why this cross is up here, why these papers are nailed to the cross, because this is something that Jesus did for us when He saved us. He took away our sin, but on a daily basis, we need to do what this teaching says right here in verse 24. Look at it. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, if you say that's you today, then this means you. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Now today, again, we're talking about those next three fruit of the Spirit, because I told you, these fruits of the Spirit, they kind of group themselves together. Peace, focus on God, look up to God. Patience, kindness, goodness, look out to others. Then we look at the last three next week, and we'll see that we look in. Today, we're looking out to others. Before we really get into in a deep way here on patience, kindness, and goodness, I want to remind you of this contrast again I referred to earlier in verse 17. It's this boisterous battle. Verse 17, he describes this war between our sinful nature and the Spirit of God. Again, we're told they're at great odds with each other. We're told here that they are diametrically opposed in the plans that they possess. They're diametrically going to be giving us different kinds of fruit. Again, verse 19 tells us the kind of fruit that the sinful nature desires to produce. You see them there. We also see when the fruit of the Spirit is described, something completely opposite, completely different. Instead of sexual immorality and impurity and lustful pleasures, the Spirit desires to fill us with love, joy, and peace. Instead of hostility, quarreling, and jealousy, the Spirit desires to fill us with patience and kindness and goodness. Now, I certainly can't speak for you, but I don't enjoy being hostile. That's what the sinful nature wants. I don't desire to fight and to quarrel. I don't really need jealousy in my life. I don't want to be guilty of outbursts of anger that are based in selfish ambition. I don't want to be like King Saul. You remember what happened in King Saul's life? At one time, King Saul was the one that the people cheered for. People looked to him. They depended upon King Saul. But then, as things often do, things change. God brings someone else into the picture, and it's David. And now the people are cheering for David. They're looking to David for leadership. And how does Saul feel? Well, great. I'm happy for David. Wrong. He's jealous. He's envious. Over and over again, if you follow their story, we see him getting in the flesh. We see him having outbursts of anger where he actually tries to kill David. And so instead of exercising virtues like love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, he was filled with hate and hostility and dissension, division, and believe me, it caused a lot of trouble. And it also grieved the heart of God. And again, I don't want those works of the flesh to be true of me. And so I would commit myself today. I hope you would have this same desire to commit yourself to say away with dissension, away with division, away with envy. Rather, what we need today is we need the fruit of the Spirit in our life. We need more love and more joy and more peace. I don't know about you, but I need certainly more patience in my life to deal with the people in my life. I certainly need more kindness. Agree that you would say that you need more patience or more kindness? I mean, we need these things. I certainly need more goodness. Being able to show the goodness of God in greater ways than I am right now. And again, I hope that you're with me. I hope that you're on board. At the same place that I'm at, and it's a place of hunger and a place of need and a place of desperation. And we're going to the source because He alone is the one who can give us these things. And as a child would lift his hands up to his mother and father because he has a need, we lift our hands figuratively up to the Father and we say, we need you. We need you. We need you to fill us with patience and kindness, goodness. Because it's easy to talk a good game and to put on the little Christian face. But when the rubber meets the road and we have to interact with people, we need patience, kindness, and goodness. We need these things. I need these things. So let's get started. I hope you'll take your note sheet out. You'll make some notes this morning that you can go back and study on your own. But first and foremost, we're looking at patience. What does it mean to be patient? What does it look like to be patient? Well, the Greek word that's used here in Galatians for the word patience is very similar to the Hebrew word. And it expresses a very similar idea. And you might write this down in your note. Both of these words express and describe patience as being long-spirited, or calm of spirit. Now, you know, you've lived long enough to know that not every situation and circumstance in our life is a calming one. Sometimes the storms are raging. Sometimes it's stress. Sometimes it's hard. But to have patience is to be long-spirited and to be long-suffering and to be calm in your spirit in those moments. You feel angry. You feel fed up. To be patient is to remain calm. It means you respond with grace and self-control when you don't feel like it. Patient. Think about the great biblical illustration of patience, and it's God Himself. Over and over again, you read through the Scriptures, and you see how patient God is with His people and with people that don't belong to Him. God is patient. Think about how Nehemiah described God and how patient he was in chapter 9. Let's just listen to it. Look at what Nehemiah says. You, God, are a God of forgiveness. You're gracious and merciful. You're slow to become angry. You're rich in unfailing love. You did not abandon your people. Even when they made an idol shaped like a calf, and they said, "This is your God who brought you out of Egypt." They committed terrible blasphemies. You, God, in your great mercy, did not abandon them to die in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud still led them forward by day, and the pillar of fire showed them the way through the night. You, God, sent your good spirit to instruct them, and you did not stop giving them manna from heaven or water for their thirst. For 40 years, you sustained them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. We have a patient God. God has been so patient with me because I am hard-headed. You say, "I didn't know that about you." Oh, I am a sinner and I am a human being and I have this battle raging on inside of me and I have days that I'm ashamed of myself because I'm not representing for Christ like I should, or I let opportunities go by and God is prompting me, do this or don't do that, and I don't always obey. And God is patient with me. And He's patient with you. God is a patient God. The psalmist describes God like this. You, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy. You're slow to get angry and you're filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. If you can sit in a service and not appreciate the patience of God, then that's a problem. You may have an unhealthy view of yourself. Because we all mess up. We all have struggles and weaknesses, and God continues to love us and remain patient with us throughout that. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that God is patient and that He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but He wants all to come salvation and repentance. He's a patient God, and oh, how we need the patience of God in our life. As God demonstrates patience to us, oh, how we need that kind of patience to deal with others. It's so easy to be impatient. And what I found is, again, why it is, maybe it's because we want to keep a good reputation. Sometimes it's easier to be patient with people you don't even know than it is to be patient with your loved ones, your spouse, your children. We need patience. If you haven't seen that movie, The War Room, I got to go see it last Sunday. I highly recommend it. It's a great Christian movie. In that movie, The wife is not very patient with her husband. Hadn't been praying for him, for sure. And that's what God says. You've got to be patient. You have to pray. You've got to treat people with patience, not impatience. You know, it's like farming. Farmer goes out and plants. Guess what he's got to do? He's got to wait. He's got to be patient for his crop to go, to grow rather. And listen, you cannot be a farmer if you don't have patience. Or a doctor, by the way, and that's just a bad joke. But you got to have patience. It's important. It's important. And you know this, unless you're just really self-righteous. I mean, let's be real. You know this is true. Patience doesn't come naturally. We usually want what we want. Like, we are a microwave generation. You put an order in at the drive-thru, and it's like, it's been 3 minutes! What's taking these people so long? Seriously, sometimes we put things in a microwave, and it's going to take like 2 minutes. We're still like, what is this? Impatience. How many of you just love to go wait in a long line? Come on. Man, I'm just telling you, there's times I go to Walmart, and there's like one cashier, and there's like a line out the door, and I'm thinking, where's the manager at? We need to get another employee up here to open up another register. And you may say, I'm not with you. They should. Well, I mean, they probably should, but still, I need to be more patient. Impatience. We need it. It doesn't come naturally. What comes naturally is hostility and quarreling and jealousy and anger and selfish ambition and dissension and division and envy. These are the things that come naturally because we're sinners and sin resides in us. Patience, however, is a gift from God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces in our life, and not just merely because we're saved. It's when we yield ourselves to the control of the Holy Spirit, to be guided by Him, He will produce this in our life. As long as you try to hold control of your life, this fruit's going to be MIA. It's going to be missing in action. And what I know about life, because it happens to me frequently, life has a way of squeezing you because it's hard. And when you're squeezed, what comes out is going to be a sign of who's guiding your life. Whether it is the Holy Spirit, because then the fruit of the Spirit will be squeezed out of you. You'll be patient, you'll be kind, and you'll be good when you feel like it. Because He's leading your life. However, sometimes when we're yielding to the flesh, and we're not listening to the Spirit, and life squeezes us, some of those things in verse 19 come out. It's not good. So I want you to be real honest with yourself. Again, we're evaluating our walk with Christ. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith. The Bible talks about us growing. We need to check ourselves every now and then before we wreck ourselves. We really need to check it. It's important. So how's your patience this morning? Maybe you're thinking, oh man, with the people that I like and like me, I'm like a man. Wow. That's not a really good way to test it. You know what Jesus said? He said, if you just love those who love you, I mean, even the pagans do that. People don't even know God can do that. True test of patience is how patient are you with people who you don't really like. People you don't really get along with. People that get on your nerves. Don't look at your spouse, please. That wouldn't be nice. People that you don't enjoy being around. That's how your patience is tested. So I want you to rate yourself. You know, on the back of that handout I gave you, it's been there for a couple weeks, but there is an opportunity for you to be honest with yourself and with God and rate your patience. One being, not very good, and 10 being, it's the best it could ever be. Patience. And what I've discovered is that impatience is not a good thing. It leads to a lot of bad things. I think about the life of Abraham and Sarah. Remember, God told them, you're going to have a son. And guess how long they had to wait? Like 25 years. That was a long time. And he got impatient, and she got impatient. And so guess what? She had this great idea. Hagar can produce a child. And he was born, and his name is Ishmael. And guess what? Not only was it problems then, but some of the things you see going on in the Middle East are still a result. That impatience. patience can have lasting consequences. And patience is not a good thing. I think about the children of Israel and how their impatience led to constant griping and complaining and moaning. Oh, we're so tired of this manna. You brought us out here to die, Moses. We'd rather just be back in Egypt. Well, we're slaves getting abused, treated worse than animals. We'd rather just be back in that situation. Gripe, 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 gripe. Impatient. They didn't want to wait. And God was testing them as they wandered through the wilderness. Sometimes impatience leads to bad choices. Because you're just impatient. You don't want to wait. I think about Moses. Remember, he got those Ten Commandments and he came down from the mountain and he's seeing Aaron and all those other Israelites act like complete pagans and doing all kind of crazy things. And Moses is mad. And he didn't have patience with the people. I mean, there's different times. Moses wasn't too happy with them, to say the least. He gets so mad, and what does his bad choice do? He breaks those Ten Commandments in anger. God sees how impatient we are at times. And that's not what the Spirit wants to produce in our life. He wants to produce patience. What happens is, as our perfectly heavenly Father, many times He will create an environment in our life that leads to the production of patience. That's just a fancy way of saying God will send some things your way. Sometimes God will put you in a waiting environment where you have to wait. You know what? Sometimes God answers our prayers and He says yes. And sometimes He says no, and other times He says wait. I want to wait now. So God sees these outbursts, these evidences of lack of patience, and He says, all right, time for a waiting environment. Put it on you. And other times God says, I'm going to put you in a painful environment. I'm going to allow some difficulty in your life that causes you pain. Sometimes we think, well, that doesn't seem right. I mean, if God loves us, why would He let us endure difficult situations? You know, sometimes the best thing you can do as a parent is to let your kid feel the consequences of their bad choice. If you're constantly coming in and rescuing them and softening it and making it really easy on them, they'll never learn. God sometimes says, that person, that child of mine, he's kind of hard-headed. She is kind of strong-willed and stubborn. And I know as her father what's going to get her attention, so let me allow this to happen in her life. Maybe she'll stop looking to herself, stop depending on herself, and she'll start looking to me, start listening to me. So God will allow those painful environments to come into our lives. And when those situations happen where we have to wait, and when there's pain in our lives, we have an opportunity to make a choice. We can either respond in a positive way and grow in patience, or we can squander the opportunities that God is affording us to learn to become more patient. Ephesians 4:2 says, be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. It would be incorrect and it would be unnecessary for me to place upon any of you or my wife or my kids perfection. You're not going to be perfect. I'm not perfect. There's only one perfect person, that's Christ. So what we need to do is we need to make allowances for each other's faults. We're going to make mistakes from time to time, and we need to forgive one another, and we need to remain patient with one another through that process. I like what Proverbs 16:32 says. It says, it's better to be patient than powerful. That's God's perspective. So how patient are you today? You can't manufacture it on your own. I'm going to be more patient. You need God. You need the supernatural power of God flowing within you and through you to be patient as God is patient. Next, let's look at kindness. Kindness is defined by Webster's dictionary as the quality or state of being kind. Examples of this would be helping someone who can't help you. It's, again, treating others the way God treats you. And probably the greatest example, again, is God He personifies kindness over and over and over again because we are sinners. And the fact of the matter is, as sinners, if we're just going to look at it from a black and white standard, as sinners, we're guilty before God. We've broken His laws. And we are deserving of consequences. We're deserving of forever being separated from God. Countless times, again, let's put aside self-righteousness, let's be real honest, countless times each and every one of us have thumbed our nose at God in both words and deeds. And the fact is, we, by doing those very things, have offended a holy God. And yet God chooses to show us mercy and grace. I don't know if you remember, if it comes to your mind immediately, these definitions of what mercy is and grace is. I hope you'll write these down. What is mercy? Because what is this thing that God shows us, even though we don't deserve it? Well, mercy is that we don't get what we deserve. We don't get it. We deserve hell. We deserve consequences from God. In His grace, He gives us Christ. In His mercy, He gives us Christ. Grace, what is this? It's that we get what we don't deserve. We get things we don't deserve. Again, you wrap mercy and grace together from God, and it's kindness. I love this idea of kindness. I'm reminded of the story of Ruth and Boaz. I did a series on Ruth, I don't know, a couple months ago, but do you remember what happened in Ruth and Boaz's life? Ruth's husband had died. Instead of doing what would come naturally, what was customary, she chooses to practice kindness. She demonstrates kindness by staying with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And her mother-in-law had also been widowed. More than just staying with Naomi, what does she decide to do? She decides to move to Israel with Naomi to continue to take care of her. And while there, read the story. She works hard. She's taking care of herself, but she's taking care mainly of Naomi, this elderly widow. This is kindness. The scriptures tell us that Ruth was better to Naomi than all of her sons. Because she was so kind, she was so loving, so helpful, so willing to sacrifice for Naomi. Show this God-like kindness. Guess what? Boaz takes a notice of it. And he responds in kind to Ruth with extreme kindness. He showers kindness down on her far more than what was customary, far more than what was expected. What do you have here in this beautiful story of Ruth and Boaz? You have two people modeling the fruit of the Spirit. Patience and kindness. Doing things for others and not expecting something in return. Think about it today. Rate your kindness. Why do you do the things that you do for people? Do you expect something in return? Is there some kind of condition attached? How's your kindness? Jesus described kindness like this. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them. And don't be concerned that they might not repay. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. Get this. For He is kind to the unthankful and to those who are wicked. Get that. He's not just kind to those who love Him and want to serve Him and want to do everything He wants them to do. He's kind to the unthankful and to those who are wicked. No, that's where our challenge is at. To be kind to everybody. We come in contact with the kindness of Christ. We're to clothe ourselves in kindness. Another scripture tells us. Ephesians 4:32 gives us a direct command. It says, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So kindness. You want to know. You want to get an evaluation. How's my patience today? How kind am I? Next, let's talk about goodness. And goodness is not just merely being good at something, like you would hear someone say, wow, she's really good at painting. Wow, he's good at sports. No. If we're looking at this word as defined from the Scriptures, we would define it like goodness is being like God. It's doing something positive that exhibits characteristics and likeness to God. In the Scriptures, when we say we want to be good, really what we're saying is I want to be more and more like God. Not I want to be God. There's only one God. That'll never be us. We make horrible gods. You know it's true. If we were God, people we don't like, gone. Yeah, we can be real merciless. Don't make us mad. Don't get us in the flesh or don't get us moody. Look out. We make terrible gods. There's only one God. Not that we ever want to be God, but we want to behave and demonstrate the qualities and the character of God through our lives. Amen. That's what we want, right? We want more goodness in our life. Again, you can't manufacture this on your own. David described goodness like this in Psalms 1, verse 40. He said, God, I long to obey your commandments. Renew my life with goodness. I think of Job when I think of goodness. Job chapter 1, verse 1 describes Job like this. There was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz, and he was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. I like how goodness is described in the life of Job. Godliness, really, is described in the life of Job. It says he was blameless. It means people couldn't really point his life and say, you're such a hypocrite. He was the real deal. He was legit. He lived what he said he believed. People saw it. It says he was a man of complete integrity. You know what integrity and character they are described as? Who you are when nobody's looking. When everybody's watching you, again, many times we will put on the good act and the fake smile, and we know how to speak Christianese. That's the language of Christians. But when nobody's looking, when you don't think you're going to get caught, what's your integrity like? Said here that Job was a man of complete integrity, and we know God certainly is blameless, and we know that God is certainly full of integrity. Because he feared God, he had a respect and a love and a connection with God, and he stayed away from evil. He drew a line in the sand. He said, that is off limits. That is behavior that is not what God would want, and I'm going to do my best to obey Him and stay away from those evil things and not touch those filthy things. This is all the goodness of God being described in the life of Job, and oh, how we need the goodness of God in our life. Jesus described goodness manifested in our lives like this in Matthew 12, verse 35. He said, a good person produces good words from a good heart. Again, don't miss it. Our words and our actions, they reveal what's being produced in our lives. These behaviors are windows to our souls. And while we might be able to hang a curtain over that window and try to hide what's really deep down inside of us, life is eventually going to pull those curtains down. And what's inside is going to be revealed. And I hope that what's revealed is the goodness of God in you. In your behaviors, in your actions, in your attitudes, that you're more and more like Christ, like God. So how would you rate your goodness today? How strongly? Here's a helpful question. How strongly would you rate your desire to imitate the attitude and actions of God in your life? Patience and kindness and goodness. That's what we're talking about today. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And I want you to know, I mentioned this in part one of this series, but these were problem areas for the Galatian believers. Again, this book is primarily addressed to those believers, but the bottom line is, they were not being led by the Spirit of God. They were allowing their sinful nature to take lead, and it was crippling their church. Believe me, when the church is full of people who are not being guided by the Holy Spirit and who do not have the fruit of the Spirit in their life or growing in their life, it is crippling to a church. Crippling. And oh, if the Galatians, and oh, if every other church in existence today would manifest the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, if they would draw in close fellowship with God, they would find what it is that they're lacking. What is so helpful, not only to them personally, but to other people. Again, I've said this before in this series, but fruit is not growing on a tree so we can merely look at it and admire it. It grows on a tree to be ate, to bring nourishment. And there's so many people in our world today that need somebody to be loving to them, or kind to them, or patient with them, or demonstrate the goodness of God to them. They're starving for it. And that's what we are left here on this earth to do. To share the fruit of the Spirit that God is producing in our lives with we come in contact with. And it's easy to put on your Christian t-shirt and throw a bumper sticker on your car that says, honk if you love Jesus. Anybody can do that. The hard part is daily surrendering, moment by moment, to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's where it's challenging. It's hard to be patient and kind and good. People that you don't think deserve it. Maybe these people have even wounded you. You don't feel any love in your heart. And see, this is where true Christianity is put to the test. This is where talking a good game is challenged by actually living like Christ. This is real stuff. This is the stuff that we're being challenged with this morning. I'm being challenged with. We need to be real. We need to be the people God desires for us to be. We would need to say and commit to it that we would say away with fakes, away with this mentality that sees coming to church as just mere religious duty that you do 1 hour a week and you can check it off your list and you're done and you can go on and live your life however you want to live it the rest of the week. No, away with that. Away with those kind of mentalities. God never intended for His people to be like that. God desires for us to grow in our patience, to grow in our kindness, and to grow in our goodness. And as I've said before, if you want those things to grow and to flourish in your life, then you've got to yield yourself to the Lordship of Christ. You've got to bow the knee every day. Say, You're in charge of my life. Are you doing that? Who's leading your life? Would you bow your heads with me?